Okay, let's begin. Today is Mizmor Chaf Ches. Today we begin a new Mizmor Chaf Ches. L'David Elecha Hashem Ekor Tzuri.
Do you do the same about the
Das?
They look in the...
Lulei Hamantil Reis B'Tuv Hashem B'Eretz Chaim. We discussed a little bit. Not much, a little bit. But with the Medrash, we read three different sources. We read from the Minhag Hashai, from the Likutei Sha'as, and from the Rashi. We read the Rashi. We try to explain a little bit the Das. This whole edition, you know, of art school is the first one of a kind. Where do you have in the history of the world since the printing press? You have an edition in the Gros Gadolos. Every single thing has nikudos. It is beyond belief, mamish beyond belief. Nikud mole. I mean the words. By me, they leap off the page. Rashi, the Malbim, the Mitzudais, every little thing on the page, even the Mincha Shai has Nikudais. Everything on this page. Unbelievable. It's remarkable what they've done over here. Beyond belief. Unbelievable. Okay, now let's on the Mizma Chaf Ches.
We had a tremendous team that worked on that. Some that they came in, people who knew it took. I was talking to somebody who was inside, and he says, this one was in charge to this one to language, this one to Limudi itself, and Hazal, Mamarin. Yes, a lot of people, about 40 people or more.
40 people working on this. It's not to be believed. And how much does it cost? $20. I mean... It's beyond belief. You go to Barnes & Nobles and buy a book like this, it would cost $300. Buy a college textbook that is full of garbage, okay? $300. A college textbook that someone wrote in his pajamas. And this over here costs $20, and the amount of work that went into this, it's not to be believed.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. For me, it totally changed my learning. To what we started using.
What used to be when my mother was in City College at Hunter in the 30s, books were free too. Not only tuition, books too.
They paid for the books, yeah.
After the war, you first had to stop paying for books.
Because the government was paid.
College was free. Now everything costs an arm and a leg. Okay, let's learn. Mizmor Chaf Ches, L'David Elecha. Now this Mizmor, it's a short Mizmor. It is, according to what all the Mefarshim I've read, I remember the little bit I prepared, it's a continuation. It's a continuation of the previous Mizmor, where David mainly is begging that he had enough of going to war. He wants to retire, or maybe some learn that he was retired. His army, like we had this a couple of times already, his soldiers said that, David, we don't want you to go to war anymore. It's dangerous for you. You're not a youngster anymore. There was an event where he almost lost his life, and they said, we would prefer that you stay home in the palace and daven for us. You learn and you daven, and we will fight the wars. So David over here is expressing himself at that point in time in his life, or he is looking forward towards his retirement. Okay, that's really been the theme of the last mizmor, the last two mizmor. Like we learned, Acha Shalti Me'es Hashem Oisav Hakesh Shifti Me'es Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. So here it's similar. It's really a continuation of the previous.
Join the Kohelet.
Retire and join the Kohelet. LeDavid, for David, Elech Hashem, to you Hashem Ekra, I call out. Tsuri, you are my rock. Al Techerash, do not be silent, Mimeni, from me. Pen Techeshe Mimeni. Now the word Techeshe is the same thing. The word Techeshe and Techerash mean the same thing, means silent. Because pen, I'm expressing myself, if you will be silent, Mimeni, then you know what's going to happen? V'nim shalti im yardevo. If you, Hashem, are silent, then I'm going to die. I need you, Hashem, to take an active role in protecting me, because if you do not protect me, I will automatically descend into the grave. Now, this is a very interesting idea in and of itself. that this is a hashkafic concept. The Ribbono Shel Olam obviously created the world. Okay, there are many different types of Hashem created the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, and as our Emunah Peshuta, Hashem is involved in Hashkocha Pratis. Hashem did not just create the world and disappear. Hashem created the world, Hashem is present. Not only is Hashem present, Hashem is actively involved. There's really three madrigals. Hashem created the world. Number two, He didn't go away. He's watching. Number three, He's actively involved. He pulls strings. He makes changes. He brings about reward and punishment. Now, here is another level, which is a matter of emuna, and hamachadesh b'tuvoy b'chol yoyim tonit. Maaseh bereishis. Every single second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is renewing the world. He's recreating the world. And this idea goes so far, this concept goes so far, people ask the following question. Why, if a person does an action which has consequences, is the person held responsible for his actions? If every single second HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates the world, so what I have done, my behavior that I have done at this second in time, let's say, for example, a person shoots an arrow. He shoots a missile. How long does it take for the missile to reach its destination? Let's make believe, for argument's sake, a minute. 60 seconds. Shoot an arrow with a very great force of velocity, and it's going to fly. It's going to take 60 seconds to reach its destination and do harm. Why am I responsible? Hashem recreated the world, for argument's sake, already 60 times since I shot my arrow. I shot my arrow. I let go of the arrow. The arrow was launched. Okay, but the world came to an end. The world came to an end after that second. Then Hashem, He recreated the world the next second. And then Hashem recreated the world the next second. So Hashem already created the world 60 times by the time my arrow gets to its destination.
That doesn't mean everything is undone.
Okay, exactly. So obviously, that it's all built in. So, but then it's a contradiction to the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates world every second. If you really, these are philosophy. You have to really go and analyze these ideas. If we have a real emunah pshuta that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hamachadesh b'tuvoy b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis, every single second HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates the world every day, every moment, every second. Why is man responsible for his actions?
But
if an action...
Just curious, it says mechadesh b'chol yom ma'aseh bereishis. Does that mean recreated? Or maybe mechadesh, he makes like a finish.
Okay, that's part of the question.
I say this kedusha all the time, the kedusha. In other words, who says it means recreating the whole world?
Well, I told you what the Abarbanel says. I mean, if, let's say he mentions the Bakora. If the ground didn't have to open up by Korah, what would have happened? If Moshe told him, you know, that's it, and he said, okay, you're right, then I back off. So the ground wouldn't have opened up. The ground opened up. What happened to all the people? God has the checklist every morning, every day. God has a checklist that He goes through. I need it. Okay, this is still going to happen. This is still going to happen. This one we don't need anymore.
So what's the default?
You're also mixing in. You're also mixing in. Right? You're also mixing whether time is a continuous world or an infinite series of discrete. Separate moments, which I don't know if
That's all part of what Mordechai is saying and what you're saying.
I was having a discussion with my son this morning on this subject. He wanted to say the whole world was written, you know. So I said, maybe not new, maybe it's just the finish, you know, there's something new.
Because if the world is truly renewed, to you take this idea to an extreme,
yeah.
That the world, every single second, the world, Hashem, is fresh, a fresh renewal of the world. Then why is man responsible for his actions? It's a new world. If Hashem, you created a new world, what I did was in an old world. Obviously, there's a continuation, right? The new creation, the new chiddush doesn't mean, as Mordechai is saying, that it's over. There is an adaptation. You said the word chiddush. There is there is a
refreshment.
Refreshment, right? It's not. It has to be clearly defined, but it does not literally mean that every single second the world comes to an end and Hashem creates a brand new world.
Because we first created the material of the world, you know, Ramban talks about how that material, Ube, whatever they call it, and then, you know, he formed it in 7 days. I mean, that, you know, doesn't seem to be creating every, you know, every day.
Obviously, if a person is responsible for his actions, and things go on for years, for generations, a person's actions have consequences for generations. Obviously, there is a continuation. So that has to be nuanced. Now, here's the point that it's relevant to our pasuk. Here it says, if Hashem does not recreate the world, then the default is man dies. Every moment. Is gravity. Gravity is, if you let go, it falls. David says, Hashem, if you're not going to take an active role and assist me, then by default, if you just turn away for 1 second, I'm dead. The natural state of this world it's a state of decay. The moment a person comes into this world, he's dying. The moment of a one-day-old child comes into this world, he's on his way out. He's already in a state of achoyla, and he's on his way out. He's dying, and every single second you need Hashem to strengthen, to reinvigorate, to give a person life. That's what it says over here. David says, "L'David, Elech Hashem Eko, Tiyu Hashem Kolat, Tsuri, you are my rock." And Chazal in fact darsh on this pasuk al tikri tsuri a tsayor. What's a tsayor? A tsayor is an artist. Okay, Hashem is a rock, a designer, which means Hashem is a creator. You are the creator. Al techerash. If you are silent from. I guess over here, what it means over here is if you're going to be.
One is listening and one is responding.
If you're not going to listen, you're not going to respond. Okay, so the word techerash here, what does it say in the Mitzudos Tzion? Techerash, techesheh. Both of these words are the same words. The Mitzudos Tzion on the next page 245, Inyon Shesika, K'mod Veheherish Yaakov, Uchmo. Ace lachashois, there's a time to be silent. Okay, silent is not the same as listening. It's
what
not
is,
the same as listening.
What is deaf? And what is silent? Mute.
Targum says tishtok, simple.
Targum says, what does it say over here?
Tishtok.
Do not be silent. Shtika. Shtika, silence. Do not be silent. If Hashem is silent, so in other words, we want Hashem to speak up. What does it mean Hashem to speak up? Speaking up by Hashem is creation. The Asara Ma'amorais Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created with an act of Dibur. Okay, we have now Shavuos. We have two different, there are two different types of Dibur. This is relevant for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. There's the Asara Ma'amorais and the Aseres Hadibrois. What's the difference between a Ma'amor and a Dibur? Okay, two different expressions. The ma'amorites relate to the physical, mundane, gashmius world. The Hashem created the world with a ma'amor. The spiritual element of the world is created with a dibur. A dibur is a dovar. Dovar is something which is much more sophisticated. In Aramaic, dabar means a leader. Okay, in Aramaic, which is related to Hebrew, Dabor Echad La'am Ve'ein Shnei Daborim La'am. A nation has one leader and not two leaders. When Moshe and Yeshua, the time came for Moshe and Yeshua, Moshe to die, Moshe asked Hashem, let me remain alive, and I will let Yeshua also lead, but I also want to be alive. Hashem says there's no such thing. Dabor Echad La'am Ve'ein Shnei Daborim La'am. Dibor
is more strict also.
Guidance.
Is a softer emotion.
Daber in Amira. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Vayomer Hashem. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Amira koy soy mar lebnei Yaakov for noshim. Women, you speak more gentle. You don't scream. Men, you take out a stick and you beat them up. You knock them over their heads.
Daber.
Men are thick. Men are thick. Women are much more able. Women they listen. So they're
from Venus and men are from Mars.
There are two different expressions. There is the world was created by Asara Ma'amorais. It's an Edelkeit in this world. But Matan Torah was a Zman of Musa. Musa, the Aseres Hadibras. Hashem came down hard on this world. People were afraid. Two different terms. In this pasuk, it's interesting, it says there are two different words. I want to suggest that one silence is a silence from Amira, and don't be silent from Dibur. Okay, you have to find the drush as to why it says twice in this pasuk, Hashem, do not be silent. David says, David, Elech Hashem, Ekot, you I call out. Suri, you are my rock. Al Techerash, do not be silent, Mimeni. And then he says again, Pen Tech Hashem, Mimeni. If you're going to be silent from me, then Vinim Shalti im Yordevar. David here is using two different words, asking Hashem not to be silent. What is the difference between these two words, silent? Do not be silent from Dibur, and do not be silent from Amira. Two different types of expression with David is asking Hashem, is asking not to be silent from. Hashem made the world be Asadam Amorais, the physical world, and Hashem guides the world with spiritual components.
The Malbim talks about it, by the way.
Okay, the Malbim, let's see the Malbim. Tech Hashem, look at the Apostle of the Be'er HaMilas. Kvar Biarti, Sheh, HaMachashavah, who hepech HaDibor, Shehoi Yoloi L'daber. A Machshavah is the opposite of Dibor. This is a little very deep for me. The HaMacharish, who hepech HaTeshuvah. Okay, this is going off on a different idea, which it's a little bit more, a little esoteric for me. But for right now, let us focus on these two different words. There's a temple called an Amira and a Dibor. And David over here is saying, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the default of this is a Yesod. This is a Yesod in Amunah. In the principles of how this world works. And that is, if Hashem would, it's not like we started, it's not just that Hashem created the world. It's not that, okay, that's a madrega, to acknowledge that there's a creator. Then there's a higher madrega, to acknowledge that Hashem is present. Hashem is aware of what is happening in this world. Then there's a higher madrega. Hashem is involved. He is involved in what happens in this world. He's going to be reward and punishment. And then there's a higher madrega, to acknowledge that if Hashem ignores this world for one moment, the world ceases to exist. It's not enough that Hashem is the creator, he's present, and he is involved. If Hashem decides to go on vacation, the world ceases to exist. The world needs Hashem. Just by disappearing, just by being silent.
If you would have done it, you wouldn't be here anymore, you choose.
The world has two different...
It needs constant will.
Constant, more than will, constant communication. It's not just constant will to the world. Because again, there are two parallel worlds going on at the same time. There is a world of Amira, Biasara Ma'amorois, Nivra Ha'olam, and there's the Aseres Hadibrois. And this is a kol godol v'lo yosof. These dibros are continuous. The sound, it says by Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, when we heard the Aseres HaDibros, it wasn't a new dibor. It was a dibor that was expressed at the time of creation. It's just now, at the time of Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu vayeirid Hashem al Har Sinai and allowed us to hear the echo of this dibor that's always going on. Every single moment of this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing it that the world should exist in two different dimensions. Hashem's desire the world should exist is expressed through Amira, that's the physical world, and through dibor, which is the spiritual world. Yasodam Amarais Nivra Ha'olam, that's the physical world. And the Aseres HaDibrois is the spiritual component, counterpart to this world. And every single moment from the beginning of creation forever, Hashem is expressing himself in both of these forms, with the Aseres HaDibrois and the Asada Ma'amores. And therefore, if Hashem for one moment will be silent, then the world ceases to exist. David says, I will die. Do not be al techerash from the Amira, pen techeshe from the Dibor, because if you do, then it's over. There's no power of a world. Then immediately, v'nimshalti in yardevar, I will be comparable to the dead, I cease to exist. Let's see, there is no Rashi on this. Let's write it. Let's see maybe the Mitzudos. So, you know, I'm planning maybe even to skip a lot of the Mitzudos because I just want to really try to move ahead. Pen techeshe, pen kishe techeshe mimeni eye nimshol im yordim. It's all he says. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk beishma koli tachanunai. Listen to the sound of my supplication. Beshavi alecha, when I cry out to you. Binasi Yadi, when I lift up my hands, El Devir Kachach. Okay, this is a new principle, a principle of raising your hands. Where do you raise your hands to? Devir means the Beis Hamikdash. Kachach, your whole. The word Devir is just a word. It's a popular word for the Beis Hamikdash. Devir. Why is it called Devir? I think I once saw it because Davar. It's like the Aseres HaDibrois. It's the place of the Aseres HaDibrois. What is the center of the Beis Hamikdash? The Luchos, the Aron. The Aron and the Kruvim is where the Shekhinah is resting. Where is the Shekhinah resting? Upon the stones, the Luchos. What are the Luchos? The Aseres HaDibras. Devir. Devir comes from the word Dibur. Devir Kachecha, your holy Dibrois. The whole Beis HaMikdash is built on the foundation of the Aseres HaDibrois. This creates a very interesting concept. Now we're coming to Shavuos, Tzeis HaShlosh Me'Agbala, and that is the Har Sinai is gone. Where is Har Sinai today? Har Sinai. We do not know where Har Sinai is. There are many theories. There are the people who have written books. And there, but the bottom line is Har Sinai. It's not an issue today. Even though I told you this many times, I told you that I was once talking to a Simcha Soloveitchik. So we were talking about Har Sinai. So I said to him something like, "Who cares? What value is there to know to go on an expedition, to go out into Saudi Arabia, to go to the Sinai Peninsula, whatever? All the different." Theories as to where it's located." So he got very angry at me, and he started banging on the table, and he said to me, "If the Torah mentions that there's a place, there's a makom in this world called Har a makom, then it's important. You don't dismiss it. There is a value in knowing exactly where it is, and if you can, you should go on a tour to see it. There is a value." Just
travel business.
What?
Travel business.
Oh, but there's no Kedusha. Everyone, there's no one that's going to tell you today. This is a very important principle, that once Hashem gave the Torah in Har Sinai, the Mokoyim has zero Kedusha. Hey, even talk about Gilgal. Where did the... Let's say we today can figure out exactly, with the ultimate precision, where the Mishkan stood for 14 years in Gilgal.
Shiloh,
369 years. And Shiloh. Right? So the Shiloh becoming very popular now. They're doing archaeological excavations to uncover the location of Shiloh. Where exactly for 369 years? And there's really nothing. They're trying to find... they have anything there? It's whatever they have there. It's all. It's like ancient. There's nothing there. They think there's this, that, and who says even they find something, even know what they're talking about. It could be who knows there. So, but let's say they would actually find the exact location of where the Aron stood in Shiloh. Are you allowed to go there today? Of course you can go there. Is davening there in that makom have any significance? Any significant than davening anywhere else there? L'chor not. No, what kavanah? What difference does it make? There's no significance. It has no kedusha. The only place that has kedusha is Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh, is the makom HaMikdash. And even that, according to the Raivah, challenged the Rambam, says kedusha shvi kitchel l'shaita, the kitchel l'yasalovo, that the makom of the Yerushalayim, the Har HaBayis, the Kosel HaMaravi, has kedusha. And even the Raivah says not necessarily. Raivah doesn't totally dispute the Rambam, but the Raivah says, who says maybe the halach is kedusha shmi kitchel l'shaita v'loy kitchel l'yasalovo? And going on the Har HaBayis today, it's no different than davening in the subway, going down below ground. Who says it has kedusha? The kedusha is when the shechina is resting. The Rambam disagrees. Obviously, we have passed on the Rambam that obviously the Har HaBayis has kedusha, the Kosel HaMaravi has kedusha, the pascha shechina it has kedusha. Fine. So the Kosel HaMaravi has kedusha, Har HaBayis has kedusha, but a shiloi today have kedusha? Absolutely not. Does Gilgal have kedusha? No. Noivigivo? No. There's no kedusha. Even though there is no kedusha yet, the fact that the Torah does make mention of these mekaymos, it does make mention, it's not something you dismiss. If the Torah goes out of its way to tell you there are mekaymos, these mekaymos have significance. How do you define the significance? I do not know, but it has significance. So therefore, what is the significance of the Beis HaMikdash? It's the luchos. Shavuos is the zman where Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael Matan Torah. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the luchos. Hashem the aseres hadibros which are put into the luchos. The luchos, the shivrei luchos, munochos, v'oroin. And where is that makom? That makom is in Yerushalayim, in the Har HaMoriah, on the Har HaBayis, and the whole makom is called after the aseres hadibros that are captured in the luchos in this place, which is called the Devir. Devir is Miloshim Dibur. It's one of many Pirushim. The Devir Kachacha. Okay, so David over here says, this part of here tells a very important principle. Hashem, listen to my voice when I cry to you. And I introduce over here a new principle. The principle of lifting up your hands. When I lift up my hands to your holy abode. Now, what does that mean exactly? Now, we do know there's a principle called lifting up your hands by Kohanim. Kohanim they dochen. When Kehanim Dochin, the Pasuk says, Nisias Kapayim, they lift up their hands, and the Shechina, it Hashem goes through their fingers.
Upward or outward?
Whatever, no, outward.
In the Beis HaMikdash, they raise their hands high, and outside the Beis HaMikdash, they put their Tzimur Sota. And you put your hands straight, like you see the Kehanim do today, but in the Beis HaMikdash, they held their hands like this.
Over their head,
also,
so there you have to ask the question: is it the same? Is it the same thing? When Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, is that a form of prayer? Was that a form of inspiration? When Moshe lifted up his hands, the Jewish people looked up to Shemayim.
Yes.
They looked up to Shemayim. So was that? So when the Kohanim blessed Klal Yisrael. And they raise their hands.
No, but it says Vayisah Aaron es yodo Vayivarachem. That's where we get that
from. From Nisias Kapayim. Yeah. So what is that? So
what also says it say Usu es yodecha b'kodesh.
Ubaruch has that. Well, that's when you tell us yodaim. Okay, you're lifting up your hands also.
That's
there, right?
That's why, because what you said was that the bottom of your hand doesn't get the water, so that's how it started. Usu yodecha b'kodesh. If you lift up your hand, the water's going to trickle down the side and the bottom of your hand.
Okay, it's more than that just can't be the reason why. Okay. Obviously, when you lift up your hands, you're giving, every one of you here in the shul is giving different examples. You're giving different examples of the significance of lifting up your hands. What is the purpose of lifting up your hands? Everyone here is giving a different example. By Amalek, that there it was a matter, Pashas, of inspiration. It was not a matter of bringing the Shekhinah down. People looked to Moshe, they saw his hands were raised. That was a symbol that was a technique that people should lift themselves up and look to Shemayim to put their emun in Hashem. When the Kohanim blessed the Jewish people, they raised their hands. You're not allowed to look at them. you're not allowed to look at the Kohanim when they raise their hand. So obviously it's not a matter of inspiration to look to Hashem. It's a matter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayered Hashem, Hashem's divine presence is descending and it's resting upon their hands, and Hashem is present. Hashem is present. Where is He? He is on their fingertips. It is a foundation. It is a resting place for Hashem's divine presence when the Kohanim bless the Jewish people. Then we know there's a principle called Da'on Davin, you lift up your hands. Chazal said that today we're not allowed to do this anymore. When we daven to Hashem, because this is something which the Goyim began to copy the Jews. We said daven, the tzura of davening is you lift up your hands. Why are you lifting up your hands? It is, I don't know, it's an expression. You call atzmoisai tamar nukah, you're raising up yourself. It is an exercise to arouse yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This used to be the tzura, the form of prayer, until the Goyim started doing this. And then, for whatever the reason is, we don't do this anymore, because since this has become the modus operandi of the Goyim, we don't want to copy them. We don't want it to be viewed as the violation of the Chassimlois Aleichu. So we do not do this. Now, so again, how many examples have we given? How many? Yeah?
Maybe the Kohanim raises the hand to show it's not us who are blessing, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they raise the hand to show, like Bnei Yisrael Yotzim B'Yad Ramah. What did they say? Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. He's the one. Look up. Does everybody lift the hand up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Okay.
Direct everybody.
Okay, so obviously there are different. You're right. There are in every, we find this principle of raising your hands in a number of different instances, and it's pretty clear that in each of these instances, the expression, the exercise of raising your hand is different. It's not one size fits all. So with all of that in mind, you come to this pasuk. What does it mean here? What does it mean in this pasuk? Shema kol tachanu b'shavi alecha, listen to my supplication. When I cry to you, b'nosi yodai, when I lift up my hands, el devir kod shecha. I'm not raising up my hands to Shemayim. I'm not raising up my hands. I'm raising my hands towards the Beis Hamikdash. So let's see the mitzvah stuff first. The mitzvah started pasuk bay says benasi yadi be'ez hatafila. Okay, so he wants to learn this to be the ancient form of prayer, nothing more. When it says yeah, I lift up my hands now, what then does it mean el devir kachach? He's not telling us what this means, but obviously if he's saying that you're lifting up your hands in prayer and then it says el devir kachach, we have the custom that we daven in where we live to Mizrach. Okay, this is the principle, and this comes from Daniel. We learn from Daniel. Daniel was in a dungeon wherever he was, in a holding cell, and he made windows, 12 windows, and towards Yerushalayim. And when he davened facing Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash is the location where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence is resting permanently, and it is the prayers are channeled towards Yerushalayim. When we daven, we all appreciate this, we daven towards Yerushalayim. And this pasuk basically is teaching you just that. I lift up my hands in prayer, kama, and my focus is towards the Devir Kachach, towards the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine resting place is located. And let's look in the Radak. The Radak, okay. Look in the Radak, Shema Koli Tachanoi, Devir Kachach, Habayi Shayasham Ha'oroin Kisham HaKavod, V'tam. What is the middle of Yom? I'm reading the Radak on page 247. V'tam B'nasi Yodi Kimivakesh Ezer Me'acher. When a person is in need of assistance, shepoyres lo yadoi, sheyekableu beezrasoi, that you should help me. V'chein v'chapav perusos hashamayim, efrois kapaya lashem, v'hanesil l'malah k'neged hashamayim, and you raise your hand towards heaven. V'yiyeh perish el devir kotshecha, bidvir kotshech, k'mo v'nasata el haron eis v'edus asher etein lecha, referring, like we said before, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. All right, so he's basically, what is the Radak saying? He's saying over here, he's just coming to explain that this is, he's just elaborating upon what it said in the Mitzvah is. Prayer. When you lift up your hand in prayer, it's an expression. It's an expression, you, the one to whom I am praying to, have the power to assist me and help me. And where is the Shechina located? In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Devir HaKadoshecha. Basically, everything we've just said is right in the Radak. O yiye perish el devir kotshecha kimashmo. What does it mean? Ki l'noichach hamakom yiso yodov kimo el hashamayim ki yu al derech moshol kimo sulam la'alos hatfila l'kisei hakovot v'al derech zenema v'atava tfilosim l'mo'in kotsho b'shamayim. So in this interpretation, devir kotshecha is not the Beis Hamikdash. Devir kotshecha means the kisei hakovot. Okay, so you're not, this pasuk would then not be referring to davening facing Mizrach or wherever you are in the world to face Yerushalayim, but rather El Devir Kotshecha, it's a esoteric expression which means to Hashem's Kisei HaKavod. And then this third interpretation, you call it Devir Kotshecha Hashamayim, okay, that isn't what he said before. Before he said the Kisei HaKavod, here he could call to the heaven, Gemosh Shekarim Heichal, the Har HaKodesh, something very similar towards heaven. All right, let's leave it with that. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Al tim shecheni im rishaim, do not pull me, do not draw me near to wicked. The im poalei oven, those that are practitioners of evil. Doivrei shalom im rei ehem, but vira'ah bil vavam. David here says to Hashem, the worst thing is to be associated with fakers, phonies, sivonim, achas bepeh, the achas belev. That's the worst. The worst is to be part of a group of people that mislead you. They say, they speak peace with their friends. They say nice, beautiful words, but the truth is inside, deep down inside, they are planning and plotting evil. Okay, what does Rashi say? Rashi says the word Tim Shecheni is a very good word, very interesting translation. The word Tim Shecheni, we would assume, means to do not draw me near. Do not pull me. And he translates Al Tar Gileni, to be rogil, to be frequent. And the lesson is the more frequently you associate, the more time you spend with people, the more you become like them. Okay, if you have a group of people that are not good people, I know they're not good people. So I'm not going to become like them. That's not the way it works. The more time you spend in the company of people that are no good, it's inevitable. It's going to rub off on you. You're going to become like them. And that's what it means. Al tim shecheni, al targileni. Hashem, please arrange it that my schedule, that my existence should not require me to spend a lot of time in the presence of people that are not good, because it is inevitable that their evil ways and their bad midos will rub off on me, and I will become just like them. With wicked people and poale oven. Okay, what are the differences between these two expressions? I don't know. These practitioners of evil. And now we're defining what are the people, what is the essence of an evil person? A person that on the outside pretends to be your friend and on the inside is just your enemy. The raw bill of oven. Okay, you heard this many, in the Holocaust, there were people, there were Jews, and we already said this over, that were on very good terms with their neighbors. They were in very good terms, had a very cordial relationship, they worked together, and the moment Hitler came to town, all of a sudden The moment he came, all of a sudden, these people that you thought you could rely upon, that were your friends, that were, you were very kind to, all of a sudden, they became very selfish, and they were the first ones to turn over the Jews, to give over the Jews to the Goyim, and the shock that many people had, many people had, it was very, very disturbing. It's a very frightening thing. I know someone told me this. I'm not here to make any political statement. This is just, I'm telling you just a story. None of my business, right, wrong. I know from nothing that the person would be working a certain place and this person did not want to take the vaccine. None of my business, I don't know from nothing. He didn't want to take the vaccine. And where they worked, the policy was, if you don't take the vaccine, you're fired. You're fired with just spit you out like a piece of garbage. And this person worked with these people for so many years and had such a good relationship. And this person, whatever the reason was, he didn't want to take the vaccine. And his co-workers, they couldn't care. In an instant, when the message went out, the deadline to show for your paperwork who to submit, take the vaccine, is tomorrow. If you don't submit it by tomorrow, you're fired. And all of and this person said, literally, a relationship of 30 years, in 1 second, all of the co-workers became ice cold, and the only thing they wanted to know how to do was to, what they were concerned about is to divide up the spoils of war. Who's going to get the desk? Who's going to get his computer? Who's going to get his clients? You know, all the clients. And this person really is not sure. He needed to go for therapy. He needed to go for therapy. The shock that the people that he worked with for 30 years, in a second, mamish in 1 second, you're a piece of garbage. You don't want to get the vaccine. In our eyes, you're a rotzeach. You're a rotzeach. And goodbye. And the only thing we want to know about is who's going to get your computer, who's going to get your clients, who's going to get your desk and your chair. And it was just a shock.
These were Goyish
co-workers? Goyish, yeah. No, some Goyish, some. I don't know all the prote. No. But there was this mix. And
but they felt that he was a threat to them.
Absolutely. They felt he was a threat. We're not going through the whole psychology over here.
Yeah.
But
that's what people feel you're a threat to them.
Okay. So are you justifying them? It's true, you're a threat. Okay. But
I was once in a room, about 20 feet away from a woman who she had a mask. She saw me without a mask. She became hysterical. I'm serious.
Correct.
I put on a mask for her.
It's terrible.
She became hysterical.
Listen, the person is fired. We all know just because you're fired, just because you're a threat, you can say goodbye. We're so sorry to see you go. We understand that you're not able to comply, whatever your reasons are. We thoroughly disagree with you. We view you, what you're doing to be dangerous, to be irresponsible. But there's 30 years. There's a relationship of 30 years. You don't have to go and have a conversation, discuss in front of the person who's going to get his desk, who's going to get his computer. There's a way to do everything. Even when you execute a person, even when you execute a criminal, there's a way to execute, there's a certain way of doing something. And the person basically realized in this kind of, is that these people were never my friends. It's true. You view my behavior to be dangerous, to be dangerous. Okay, I'm going. I'm fired. I don't have a choice. I'm going. You can send me an email of sympathy. We're so sorry to see. It's not contagious over Zoom. No. If you send a message over email, nothing's going to happen to you. There's a way to say goodbye. And the realization, the shock was, 30 years, I know these people. So what is the shock? You have to go to a psychologist to analyze what exactly is the shock. The shock is, okay, the shock is that I have been fooled. I have fooled myself. I thought of a relationship was such. And I realize now, it's just a facade. It's just, you know, niceties. And the shock of being fooling yourself for 30 years. I also had this personally with someone. I had personally with someone that I really, really invested an enormous amount of time and effort to work with this person, to help this person. And then they found out something about me and they didn't like. And they really attacked me in a very, very nasty way. And I was also, I was just shocked. I was shocked. Like, okay, you're not happy with something about me. I have a relationship with you for I don't know how many years, many, many years. And then I came to realize I have no one to blame but myself. I fooled myself. I thought that I had a secure relationship with a certain person, and there's a problem, and there are consequences. You cannot deny. But just because there are consequences, you know, it's a moment of revelation of where are you really holding from the very beginning. And that's what David over here is saying. I think David over here is saying, Al tim shecheni im rishon v'impar le'odin. Hashem, do me a favor. I'm going out now, I'm a young man, David says. I'm going out now to develop relationships with people. And, you know, I can go this way, I can go that way, I can get a job here, get a job there. I'm going to become part, I'm going to settle in the community. I'm going to settle down in the shul. And everyone is very nice. I can go to this shul, I can go to that shul, I can go to this shul. In this shul, everyone is, they're doivrei shalom imrei ehem. I go to this shul, they're doivrei shalom imrei ehem. But the truth is, I don't really know what's going on under the hood. And then it'll come 30 years from today, and something's going to happen, and how are people going to react? How are they going to react? And if Hashem, if you do not guide me now in advance, 30 years in advance, then I'm going to be very, very disturbed 30 years from now. I'll give you another mashal. I know as part of a community, a person, think of that person. He was caught to be a criminal. The person was part of a community. I can tell you a few stories like this. Okay, when my father was a rabbi, I can tell you a few stories like this. One, I have a personal with my father. You have a person who's part of a shul. He's part of a shul. He's a shena yid, very popular person. You know, he gets mafter yoina. He does this. He does that. And then one day, Vayihi Hayoyim, you turn on the television, and he's the top story in the news. He's a criminal. He's a criminal. Okay, he did a crime. There are different types of crimes. Okay, I'm not talking about abuse.
White collar,
terrible aveira. No one is denying he did a terrible aveira, made a chilul Hashem that's beyond belief. So, I can tell you certain stories. The moment this person was discovered, everyone washed their hands from him. No. He never existed in the shul. He was never a member here. They took his chair out. Gone. No one will look at him. Like never happened. And then, and I was really, you know, I was really shocked. That's how I would have reacted. That's how I really felt how I would react. And then I was really shocked that where the one particular incident is, the people that when they saw, it's just the opposite. They had incredible sympathy for him. He did an avera. He's going to pay the price, big time, and he did. In every dimension, he's going to pay the price. In every dimension of his life. And yet, the people, okay, he's also a person. He's one of us. Echad Mishalanu. 30 years we have him. 30 years, whatever, 20, whatever. whatever it is. He's one of us. He's part of our life. He's our child. He's in a lot of trouble. No one is apologizing for him. But you just don't, you don't go, you know,
throw him under the bus.
Exactly. And they and people, incredible sympathy came forward for him in a responsible way. I can't tell you the details because I don't want to, you know, tell you too many things. It's not for me to say over. And I'm telling you, it really affected me a lot. It affected me like, wow. Wow. It's like, ain't tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tovah. Listen, people do terrible avers. I'm not coming to apologize if someone abuses someone. You know, that type of stuff is really, really, you know, especially in this world. And it's, look, you took a look at certain organizations. I have to give you some, you know yourself, certain organizations where things happened 50 years ago. And 50 years ago, no one knew what to do about these type of things. People came forward and they were rebellion, and they were molesting children, and the people that were in charge, I mean top positions, it was presented to them what's going on. Go back 50 years ago. In those days, it was a different world. No one knew what to do. And there were people that did then, some people did the wrong thing. Okay, every institution had this. 50 years ago, this the liyotzei min haklal. Every institution had things like this going on. And those days, no one had any clue what to do. And there were people that did the wrong thing. And there were people that did a lot more than other people. They really did. They really did the right thing. And then 50 years later, all the garbage came out, and it became a society where you go for blood. And there were certain places I personally feel that it was horrible, where the institution did not come to defend these people, the people who were not the criminals, the people who were, you know, in charge, when they actually did a lot. They actually did a lot more than their counterparts in the Goyish world, for sure. And in the Jewish world, even more than that. And no. We don't care. Society, this is the new, this is the society. Society is, the world wants blood. It's terrible. It's really, really horrible. And then the people that suffer, they say to them, the people, it's like, I didn't really know who you are. I thought you were my friend, and I thought that we had a real relationship. Listen, you can't judge. I'm not trying to judge, but there are certain situations. This, when I read this pasuk over here speaks to me in this manner. David over here says, you're starting off young in life, and you're asking Hashem, Al tim shecheni im rishoim v'impalei oven. Guard me. When you start out and you invest in a career or in a relationship, Hashem, guard me. Do not allow me to be rogil. Don't let me fall into a community where people make believe they're my best friend. They speak to me divrei shalom, but the truth is, it's just a facade. And years later, I'm going to discover there was always, from day number one, there was ro'a bilavavam. And the only reason why they were nice to me was because it was for their own benefit. Because if they really cared about me, it could not possibly be you would behave like this in this situation. Okay? Look, like an example that I started with. Person didn't want to take the vaccine. He's fired. There's nothing to discuss. You don't have to go and have the conversation in front of him, who's going to take all of his possessions. You can do that after the guy leaves. People, they can send an email of sympathy. You don't have to go and become ice cold. Okay? No one's coming. You know, there are rules and regulations, and there are things. But when these things happen, It's a revelation of what was really going on under the hood for many, many years. And you talk about the Holocaust stories. This is over and over again in the Holocaust stories. And that's not even a kasha, because a goy is a goy. A goy is a goy. You have countless thousands of stories of Jews that had such a good relationship with goyim, their neighbors. And then the Nazis came to town. The first one to give them over was their next door neighbor, whom you had a relationship with. No, what do you expect from a goy? But you don't expect that from a Jew. That you don't expect from. There's a time and place and there for everything, and therefore a person needs siyata d'shmaya of where you fall in life. What kind of chaverim do you have in life? What kind of chaverim al tim shecheni Hashem, do not, Rashi's words are very powerful, al taragileni, do not arrange things in b'hashkocha pratis. You can get a job. You have an opportunity to buy a house. You save up some money. You get married. Where should I move? I can go and I can move and live in Borough Park. I can live in Flatbush. I can go live in Lakewood. I can go live over here in this community, that community. And it makes the world of a difference. World of a difference in different situations. You have to meet Mispal. Altim Shecheni Im Rishoyim Bein Poli Oven. What kind of Rishoyim are you talking about? What are you talking about? They're wonderful people. No, they're not. No, they're not. You know what these people are? They look nice from the outside. They're doivrei shalom imrei ehem. But the truth is, vira'ah bilavavam. There's a selfishness. Okay, that's really what it all comes down to. That, you know, took me 2 years to really try to figure out that word. A lot of things that go on in this world, it's just selfishness. What?
You're saying, we get used to something. Unfortunately, a lot of stuff goes on. We just get used to it. And it doesn't affect us anymore.
Huh? Al Targileni.
That's what he's asking. Like, don't let me get used to
it. Right. Don't.
It doesn't bother me even
anymore. Okay. There's a little different mahal. Different. Okay. All right. We're off the pasuk. Pasuk. Dalim. Let's remember one more pasuk. Tein lechem kifalam. Hashem, give them.
Wait, let me just
before
we leave this. Very interesting that Miller Zatzal's inaugural address when he took over, he became Rav in Rugby, so that must be, I don't know, 52 levels, how many years ago. So his main address at that point in time is, a person is a product of his environment.
Oh.
A person is a product of his environment. And therefore, it's impossible to not to be drawn
right
after their thoughts and ideas, etc. And therefore, our job in this world is to choose the environment. Go like the bench thing, you know, move to a good neighborhood, be near a brochure, go out in the right place, you know, go, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Choose your environment. That's the job.
But you need Yad Mishmaya. You don't even know.
You should do the best you can. You know, your house should be, you know, you should, people are saying it's a near a bus or something. Oh, is it near a tzaddik? Is it near a shul?
Very
it,
good.
You know, so who's your next door neighbor?
That's right.
You know,
exactly. You don't
person
know.
Is a product
but you but sometimes you can't even decide because you don't really know. Life, lot of relationships. If someone was to tell me, we still talk a shidduch is a sealed envelope. You can make all the inquiries you want. You can be this. At the end of the day, when you walk down the chuppah and you say Arad Mikudeshes and you marry someone, or the boy, the girl to the boy, the girl to the boy, it's a sealed envelope. You really don't know what you're getting. You don't know what you're getting. That's the way life is. And David is being mispalel. Altim Shecheni. Do not be miragel. Do not cause me to end up to frequent the wrong places. And even though it looks beautiful, it looks like there's divrei shalom in rei ehem, but rachman ulitzlan. Now, I know. You have to understand it's a two-way street. You know, just because it's a two-way street. Just because you're a person, you may start out being divrei shalom in rei ehem, but over time, you know, you can people change. You know, you can by the people may have naturally been fakers, but if you're good to them, you know, it's a two-way street. They can become very sincere. It's not just, oh, like, oh, I end up in this location, all of a sudden, 30 years later, I'm going to be betrayed. Not necessarily. If you invest in them and you develop your relationship with them, adorable. So it's not like, you know, it's not totally steal them love, because you also have koyach to change. I always tell you the story about this Rosh Shiva. I remember Mr. Rapport, he didn't like the story, he's not over here now. There was a Rosh Shiva, he sat down with his Talmidim, and he said to his Talmidim, I'm telling you, I want all of you to become Rabbanim. Why? Because I want you all, I forgot exactly how it goes, I want you all to, by becoming a rabbi, become a rabbi, a 20-year-old, or move into a community, you'll have these 90-year-old ladies he has to talk to, you'll make believe you care about someone. He says to the rabbi, what? What do you mean you'll make believe? Let me explain to you. You're 25 years old, you're going to become a rabbi in a community, and you're going to have all these old ladies. These 90-year-olds, you're going to call them up, and you're going to say, hello, Mr. Smith. How are you? How do you feel? And the Rosh Shiva says to him, you couldn't care less. You couldn't care less. Mr. Smith, Yeshiva Bacha, you're calling up a 99-year-old lady in a nursing home. How do you feel? Hello. You couldn't care less about her. That's why I want you to become Rabbanim. What? So you don't understand. You're going to do it once, and you're going to be a phony. You're going to do it a second time. You'll be a phony, but not as much. And after you do it a couple of times, you know what's going to happen? You're going to really come to care about these people. You miragel yourself. It's going to rub off on you, and you're really going to care about people. You'll care about someone for real. If you don't go through the steps, if you don't go through the process of first making believe, you'll never get there. You'll go your whole life. You'll never, couldn't care less about anyone. But if you force yourself, you put yourself in a position where you have no choice but to deal with people that you really couldn't care less about, and then you spend more and more time, you really will become to care about it. You'll become a very different person. You'll become a very holy person.
Lies, you know, because as they open up, you find out maybe you had a misconception about them in particular, you know, very much so.
I know that one of the biggest acts, most of it I see, I don't know if you get to see this, but if I wake up a little bit late, Chas v'Shalom, I daven the Chaim Berlin, so I walk, there are many ways to walk where I live, the Chaim Berlin, 100 ways to walk. I try to choose to walk down East 14th Street between Avenue L and Locust. Why? Because that's where Hass is located. And at a certain time of the morning, all of the Hask students, patients, they arrive. They arrive. And there's a greeting, there's a committee to greet them. And there are bus drivers. And there are parents. And there's family. And there's staff, a very large staff. And you walk down, you try to walk down, you have to walk down when they come, what time they come. And when they come, the mussar of watching what goes on over there, it's beyond belief. First of all, to thank Hashem that you're healthy and you're normal. The patients that come there, it's shocking what you see there. It's just shocking. Okay, put aside the patients, and then look at the staff and the parents, the grandparents, the bus drivers. I'm nishtoyimim from the bus drivers. Ezel oilam haba. Even some of the Goyshe bus drivers who bring these patients and how they care for them and how they close the street and how they operate, you know, the whole elevators and the whole thing to get the students off the bus, off the, you know, different, everyone is different, and how they greet them. And the receptionist, and they really care. They really care about these people. They have a very powerful relationship. The bus driver has a more powerful relationship with some of these people than husbands and wives have for their, each other who are married for 50 years.
How do you know?
I don't know. You're right. I don't know. You're right. I don't know. I really, it's true. It's not really true, but I'm just saying it for the effect, for the exaggerated effect, because it's a very. How does that happen? It takes time.
The Babbage has a saying from the Rebbe.
What does that mean?
Say it's going to be good.
And it'll be good. That's true. It's very true. It's a matter of practice.
But you have to be honest. I mean, they will be paid to do that. That's part of the job.
What?
They get the lowest pay.
It becomes part of you. It becomes part of you. There's no question. It becomes part of you.
I know you go to certain airports. I see you all the time in CVS in Manhattan. When I go into the airport, a person comes over to me and says to me, can I help you?
It's true.
I appreciate it, but I know he's being paid.
He's being paid, but the people that are there for a longer period of time, you know, it depends. Everyone is different. Obviously, you can't generalize. But the people that come over to you in the pharmacy, can I help you? They're way ahead of a person who never worked in the pharmacy and never went over to someone, can I help you? A person who just a selfish person lives his whole life couch potato and never worked in CVS. And came over to a person, can I help you? He doesn't have a clue what it means. A person there, okay, the people are bitter, people have problems, some people are very nasty in the store, obviously, but they've gone through the experience. Can I help you? You can't say it didn't make an effect on them. Okay, let's stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue.